The scripture for this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 13. It's on page 1785 and 1786 in the Pew Bibles. There are different kinds of gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who gives them. There are different kinds of work to be done for him, but the work is for the same Lord. There are different ways of doing his work, but it is the same God who uses all these ways in all people. The Holy Spirit works in each person in one way or another for the good of all. One person is given the gift of teaching words of wisdom. Another person is given the gift of teaching what he has learned and knows. These gifts are by the same Holy Spirit. One person receives the gift of faith. Another receives the gift of healing. These gifts are given by the same Holy Spirit. One person is given the gift of doing powerful works. Another is given the gift of speaking God's word. Another person is given the gift of telling the difference between the Holy Spirit and false spirits. Another is given the gift of speaking special sounds. Another person is given the gift of telling what these special sounds mean. But it is the same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, who does all these things. He gives to each person as he wants to give. Our body is like the body of Christ. Our own body has many parts. When all these many parts are put together, they are only one body. The body of Christ is like this. It is the same way with us. Jews or those who are not Jews, men who are owned by someone, or men who are free to do what they want to do, have all been baptized into one body by the same Holy Spirit. We have all received the one Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Amanda. Well, let's pray as we take a look at this text together. Gracious God, we thank you for today, for the work you're already doing in our hearts as we've gathered here and as your Holy Spirit is active among us. Teach us. Give us something that we all need to hear. And then as we gather as one body at the table, may we know it to be true, and may we encounter you in all of your grace and mercy. May the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, given the popular usage of the word spirits to refer to something else, one spirit to drink could be a controversial sermon title, but we're not talking about those kind of spirits. That's not the point of the message today. We're not talking about those kind of spirits. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, right? Which you probably have figured out by now. And if you were listening to Amanda Reed, you heard a lot about that spirit. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, is talking to this church about the Spirit because they don't quite understand what it is, how it works. They're trying to figure it out. These letters that we have in the New Testament are early church letters. And sometimes we have in our mind that they had it all figured out way back then. But in fact, they were just the first ones to have all the same questions that we do. And now we get to take the accumulated wisdom and knowledge of the last 2,000 years. And, are we more wise than they were then? maybe some of us in some ways, but we're working on it, right? We at least have access to all this wisdom. And we have access to the same Holy Spirit that they did, which is the point of what we're talking about today. So you hear the word different and you hear the word same a lot in this passage. And it's hard to be different and the same at the same time, right? There are people that we may describe as, well, they're sort of the same, but they're different, right? There's a lot of similarities between those two people, right? You know this person? They're kind of like that person. They're kind of the same as that person, but they're different, right? We have those people that you know that are, you know, they're similar. Like, they could be sisters, they could be brothers, but nobody's the same, right? Everybody has their own unique imprint in this world. The only people I know who seem to be completely interested in being completely the same are two NBA basketball players. Have you heard of these guys? Marcus and Markieff Morris. They are identical twin brothers. They play for different teams, but they have identical tattoos all over their bodies. I mean, it's not like they have one matching tattoo. They have, like, full body tattoos that are completely matching so that they are completely identical. So when one of the guys gets hurt in the playoffs, this is what happened, and he comes back the next game, people are like, well, how do we know that this isn't his twin brother who actually isn't hurt, who came and is playing for a different team now? Anyway, that was a total tangent, but hey, the Morris brothers, they want to be exactly the same. But we know that we're all different and the same. So there are different kinds of gifts, verse 4 says, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, and there are different kinds of working. So we have different kinds of gifts. There are different kinds of gifts. There are different kinds of service, and there are different kinds of working. So the gift is what you and I have, right? We have different kinds. Do I have the same gifts as you? How many people want to be preaching this morning instead of me? Not very many of you, right? Although if anybody's willing, please let me know, and I could use a break every once in a while. But we all have different gifts. Some of you can fix things, and I watch you do it, and I'm like, no. That's not going to happen for these fingers for some reason or another, or for this brain or whatever. It's whatever the wiring is wrong. It just doesn't work. So we all have different kinds of gifts, right? There are different kinds of service, right? There are different kinds of needs, different kinds of things that need to be done, different kinds of serving to be done. Some people need help with physical things. Some people just need somebody to talk to. Some people need a meal cooked for them. Some people, there are different kinds of service, and there are different kinds of working. There are different kinds of jobs out there to be done, right? So this is why the last 2 weeks, and I was going to include it again this week, but we're trying to, I don't have one with me, getting compile a database of the different gifts that we have available to us here in the church. So about 10 of you have filled it out, and I need to include them again so that more of you can fill it out. What your spiritual gifts are, what your passions are, what your abilities are, what your talents are, what your personality is, and what your experiences are, and how those things might be able to be used to serve one another. Right, so because we know that I can't assume that everything I can do, you can do. And you can't assume that everything you can do, I can do, right? That's why we need each other, right? Because we are all different. We have different gifts. We have different needs. But the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. Different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now look at the triune way that is spelled out. The same Spirit, the same Lord, which we call Jesus Lord. Jesus is Lord. And the same God, which was usually what we used to refer to God, the Father. We have one God that we all serve. And our gifts are given to us. They come directly from the Holy Spirit, but they are, so because they're spiritual gifts, right? The Holy Spirit actually gives them to us, but they come from the Son and the Father as well. So the Holy Spirit, who does different things in each of us, unifies us all. So there's a sameness and there's a difference because of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us were created differently, and every single one of us has been shaped from that moment a little differently. When we come together as the body of Christ, when the Holy Spirit descends upon us, enlivening us, animating us for mission, we have the exact same Holy Spirit at work in every one of us. So no matter how different we are, if we're all submitting to the Holy Spirit, we should all be on the same page, working on mission together. Does that make sense? No matter how different we are, because we have the exact same Spirit at work among us, God can take parts that are as disparate as you can imagine. People that are way out in left field, people that are way out in right field, people that are really, really short, and people that are really, really tall. People that do jobs that get their hands dirty and muddy every day, and people who sit in offices all day. God can take people who do all sorts of different things and who are created all sorts of different ways and do one thing through them. Spread his good news. Plant the seeds of his gospel and his kingdom. Right? God, because he is one, he can take a whole bunch of people who are on all sorts of different pages and make them one as well. Do you believe God can do that? All right. Preaching already. I like that. I like it. Verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. To each one. The Spirit gives each of us different gifts to discover, develop, and deploy. Sometimes when we're trying to figure out our spiritual gifts, it can be helpful to take one of those multiple choice inventories, and then they tell you this is what your spiritual gifts are. But the problem is sometimes we take one of those once in our life and then we assume that our gifts are the same throughout our whole life. But guess what? The Holy Spirit giveth and the Holy Spirit taketh away. Sometimes a gift that I've been given, is I've only been given it for a season. And if I keep trying to exercise that same gift over and over and over again, I might be just doing it wrong. I need to continue to be receptive to what God is doing. So our gifts can be constantly shifting. Not constantly. I don't want to make it seem like today I'm going to be good at mercy and then tomorrow I'm going to be terrible at mercy. Right? I think there's certain proclivities and tendencies that we all have, right? I'm going to be given the gift of leadership today, but then tomorrow I don't have it anymore. But somebody who may not feel like they have the spiritual gift of leadership enters into a leadership role, guess what? The Holy Spirit doesn't leave you unequipped. The Holy Spirit can give you the gift of leadership so that you can serve in that position if God has called you to do that, right? God can give us a spiritual gift in order to equip us for a situation that we don't feel like we're equipped to take on ourselves and in our own strength. And sometimes that's the best place for us to be. So we need to discover our spiritual gifts, sort of name what they are. But sometimes we got to like figure out how to use it. We got to develop our spiritual gifts. Again, if I have the spiritual gift of leadership, I don't say, well, the Holy Spirit has given me the gift of leadership. I don't need to read any books or listen to any other leaders, right? That's not how that works. God gives us those gifts so that we can develop them. We can get better through wisdom, through learning, and through sitting at the feet of other leaders and teachers, right? And to deploy, of course. God doesn't give them to us to hold on to, right? God gives me the gift of leadership so that I can lead myself. I'm using leadership as the example. There's a lot of other gifts out there. The gift of mercy, the gift of helping people, right? How many people think God gives you the gift of mercy so that you can only be merciful to yourself? No. All of the spiritual gifts are for us to give away, to deploy on behalf of other people who need it. But we've all been given different ones. And we got to be attentive to the Spirit and to the gifts of the Spirit. So in our lives, We need to be attentive to the gifts that the Spirit is giving us, right? Attentive to the way that God has created us and the way that God has gifted us. You may have a real sense that I don't feel like I have the gift of administration, but yet somehow I feel like God is calling me into an administrative role. What is God doing there? I don't feel like I have the gift of teaching, but somehow God has put on my heart that I need to start teaching children's church. What is up with that? Sometimes the Spirit calls us out of our comfort zones and out of what we think, what we previously thought ourselves to be. Because the Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit that can raise the dead. And he did it. You remember Jesus? Remember that? Pretty important stuff. That Spirit can help you teach a lesson to third graders, believe it or not. We must be attentive to the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. So there's being attentive to the gifts the Spirit is giving us, but then there's also just in general being attentive to the Spirit. So sometimes that requires we got to slow down. We got to listen. We got to pray. And we don't pray and say, "Dear God, thank you for today. Here's my list of all the people. I got to pray for Judy and Becky and Cindy and Mike and Joe and Steve. And Lord God, heal them all and we love them and amen." And then the prayer is over. And you're talking the entire time. And if God wanted to say something, he would have been like, but. You picture God doing that while you're praying? But I already answered that one. No. Being attentive to the Spirit sometimes requires us to slow down and listen to the Spirit. And listening to the Spirit may mean silence and just sitting in the Spirit's presence. Listening to the Spirit also means being open to what he has already written for us through the living Word of God. But we got to be attentive in one way or the other. So verse 7, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given. I've already kind of let this one slip, but they've been given not for us, but for the common good. All of these gifts have been given for the common good. For the good of all, as I believe the translation Amanda used for us. For the good of all. Again, I'm not given spiritual gifts to enhance and improve my life. Although, if I exercise my spiritual gifts, my life will be enhanced and improved. But that's not the point. The point is for the common good. God has given us gifts for the good of all. For the good of this community, for the good of our neighborhoods and our communities that we're out in the world with, and for the good of the whole world, everywhere that we interact with. God has given us these gifts for the good of all. For the common good. So, a good test to know if we're exercising our spiritual gifts is, are we spreading good? Is there improvement happening in our neighborhoods, in the lives of our church family, in the lives of the people that we interact with? Are we seeing good being spread in some way in those situations? Not that everything's getting easier, right? Or everybody's like bank accounts are getting bigger. I'm talking about, like, is there legitimate good happening? Is the kingdom taking root around us? For the common good. Skipping down to verse 12. So we have a list of a bunch of different gifts. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, miraculous powers, speaking in tongue, distinguishing between spirits, interpretation of tongues. There's other lists in scriptures that talk about mercy as a gift and administration and leadership, as I've mentioned. There's several different lists of spiritual gifts in scripture, but the point is any gift that the Spirit gives to us is a spiritual gift. But again, these gifts come from the same God. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but its many parts form one body, we were baptized by one Spirit, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Our gifts are for the common good, and they come from a common place. They come from the same place. All of the gifts come from the one Spirit, and they create one body. And again, just pointing out that this is very similar to verses 4 through 6. Verses 12 through 14 are very similar. We have different and the same, and we have one and many. Many parts, Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. I forgot to include that one in the PowerPoint. Not one part, but many, that God is taking through the Holy Spirit many things, many parts, many disparate parts. Jews and Gentiles, previously thought to be on completely different spiritual planets, completely different stratospheres, not to be crossed over or intermingled. And God has taken many on both poles and has made them one. Not one part, but many. So our unity, right? The Bible talks a lot about us being one and being unified, and we're like not great at it as a general rule. There's a lot of things that divide us. I'm not even talking specifically about the church, but in the world, there's a lot of things that divide us. But there's a lot of things that divide us in the church too, right? But our unity is possible because of God's unity. We think of God as one, which is a good thing, but God is triune. And the unity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is baffling to us, right? Three in one. Right? Is it like an egg? Is it like the shell, the yolk, and the white? No, because you know, who wants to be which one's the shell in that? I mean, is God the Father the shell, and he gets thrown away while you eat the rest? Or some people only eat egg whites? Or is it like water? This might be the best metaphor, H2O, because you have liquid water, you have water vapor, and you have ice. I still don't know which one gets to be ice. Is it the Father that gets to be ice, and then Jesus is water because he walked on water and he turned water into wine, and then the Holy Spirit is the water vapor? Because, see, that one makes sense, right? It's all H2O, but it's one. So that's probably the closest metaphor you're going to get. God is one, but shows himself to us three ways: through the Father, through the Son, and through the Holy Spirit. The fact that God can be three in one, that God in all of his diversity can still be one God, that is the sort of mystery that we are taken apart in when God calls us into his body. Our unity is rooted in and comes from the unity that God already has within himself. So the tall and the short. Sorry, I always use that example because every once in a while somebody points out that I'm taller than the average person. Every once in a while. But all of us in all of our diversity are one because God in all of his diversity is one. And our spiritual life isn't solitary. It is for the common good. So I know I talked about being still and quiet to listen to the Spirit of God, which we need to do. But the Spirit of God isn't confined to that space where we're in meditation or we're like encountering God in the still and the quiet. The Spirit of God is the one who animates us for the common good, who has given us gifts to share with one another for all. So spiritual life, it may require some periods of solitude. It may require regular periods of solitude, but it's never solitary. If it is solitary, then it's just like, I mean, what are we doing it for? What am I becoming spiritual for if it isn't for the good of others? It's not just about inner peace, although spirituality can have a lot to do with inner peace, and you can have inner peace, but only if you're taking what you are encountering in the Spirit of God and sending it out into the world. We can try to bottle up as much as we can, but eventually you just kind of run out of space and you got to give it out. You got to give it out. Does that make sense? And we can have more Spirit when we give the gifts of the Spirit to our friends and our neighbors and the world around us. So our spiritual life, which seems like a very like quiet in my closet sort of thing, is actually for the common good. It is what animates and energizes me for mission in the world. A few weeks ago, I introduced the three circles when we were talking about eating together. Pentecost is about following the Spirit into the world. So we talked about these three circles, the close circle, the dotted circle, and the half circle, which is, this is going to be the foundation of the summer worship series, if you didn't guess from the design on the inside of the bulletin with the three circles. We're going to be talking about this a lot, so I'm just getting it out there. If you don't understand it fully today, that's fine. But the close circle is our church community, the dotted circle is our home and our neighborhood, and the half circle is out in the world. Everything about our spiritual lives is intended to move. There is no part of our spiritual life that is intended to stay in church community and never move outside of it. There is no part of our spiritual life that is intended to stay in the home and the neighborhood and never move outside of it. There is no part of our spirituality, our spiritual life, that is intended to stay out in the world and never affect the others. God's Spirit, God's call on our lives is to move. Everything that we take in here is intended for the good of our home and our neighbor and the world. Everything. Everything. In one way or another. Now, we get to experience it in the close community here at church. So there's something unique and beautiful about that. And there's something that we need about that. We need to come together in the close circle in order to grow and to be strengthened and to be animated together. But everything that we do here moves into the home and the neighborhood. All the teaching that you take in, you're not like translating my sermons for your coworkers or for your children necessarily, although if you want to try that, you can. I'll give you some notes or something. Into the home and the neighborhood, and then eventually out into the world. Everything that we do, and that includes our spiritual life. We think of our spiritual life as something that has to do with the church community. And it can get stuck in the church community. But our spiritual gifts and the Spirit of God at work in us, we're going to get to the benediction later, right? What we're about here is not separate from life. Rather, these acts are a reminder that we belong to Christ always and everywhere. We take these things into our homes, our daily lives, and into all of our relationships. Into our homes and our neighborhoods and out into the world. Nothing about our spiritual lives is to be hoarded. It all is on the move. And again, all of these spaces are important. We value the closeness of church community. We value the fact that we are still sort of hosts in our homes and in our neighborhoods, right? When we invite people into our space, we are the host and we get to kind of set the ground rules a little bit. But we also value that there are places where we have to go where we are the guest and we are receiving the hospitality of others. We are out in the world and we're trying to figure out how to represent Christ there too and how to have a spiritual life there too. It's all connected. Life is all connected. We don't get to put it all into boxes because the boxes are always shifting and they need to be on the move. So when we look at Pentecost, we don't look at a gift that was given to the church community and stayed in the church community. The Holy Spirit was given in the context of worship to a church community. But I think that the Holy Spirit has actually transformed quite a bit outside of the church community. And the church community grew because the Holy Spirit moved through those people and they spread the gospel and the good news to the ends of the earth. We're still on the same mission. We're still loving God, being the church, and blessing the world together. So let's go filled, equipped, and loved by our great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.